Welcome to the daily VFN radio program highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. You know, today's news, you know, we're always looking at, you know, God's perspective, God's news behind the news, and just a little bit more that's going on. As a matter of fact, it's probably going to really pick up. We want to get a prophetic viewpoint, And we also want to get, you know, illuminate with God's word. But also, I want to say this first, because I know that I talked to, you know, an earlier broadcast that, you know, store your treasures up, you know, where moth can't eat it. And it sounded like I said, where Robert can't steal it. And so I want to say, Robert, you know, that if you're listening now, if you're a Robert out there, and you may have thought that I've actually set you up for a failure and that everybody thinks that you're going to rob them, please know that I meant to say, or meant to come over, you know, that robber can't steal it. So, Robert, please forgive me. Know that if you store your treasures in heaven, you know, a moth cannot eat it, and
a thief.
There you go. Yeah, right. A thief. I know. Speaking of that, today's, you know, you heard me talk about a prophetic word with John when we're talking about the economies and what's taking place, and you know, and you can find this also in the highlights as well about you know, the economy falling in 6 seconds, about paper money being burnt up in a day vision this came. And then I talked to you also about, you know, God's perspective with David Wilkerson's word, and I shared with you the book. I don't have it with me right now, but maybe before the show's out, we can actually get it and tell it to you again. But understand this, that it's now. Things are happening as we speak. And one of the key words in the 1998 prophecy, and then all these other confirming words that have happened since, is the fact that when you start seeing them fall like dominoes, when you start seeing economies fall like dominoes, and everything's integrated. You know, what happened back in probably under Woodrow Wilson's administration, when he began to have a vision for not the United Nations, but the League of Nations, which eventually become the United Nations, that he felt like if we tie the world's economies together, that we would never again be at war, because if you actually defeat one country, it would affect your economy. And so they thought that that would work. And of course, the League of Nations didn't come through. But then World War II happened, and immediately that's when everything began to gel, and they said, let's try this thing. And now here we are with the United Nations today. And I know when we were in Israel, when you look at the United Nations, the building itself for the United Nations is right really over where the city of Jerusalem, really down a little bit where it was. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that the adversary is constantly, you know, I encourage you, if you haven't, you know, listen to SOS, you know, Tell of Two Kings, on VFN at VFNTV.com. You don't even have to be a subscriber for that. Yes, you can listen to it for free. And the subscription's free, but you can listen to it without subscribing, I mean. And also you have it on your application. It's important to understand, because we have a tendency to rely on what we understand in our head, which means it doesn't require faith. And when we start seeing something happening in the world, or somebody happening, doing something and succeeding, but we feel succeeding or surviving in a way that you can manage it and you can control it and you can, you know, have it go the way you want to, our human sin nature wants to turn that way. And when we do that, we're turning away from God's way of doing things, because we have to trust God. We have to have faith in God. When you've got it all figured out, you have nothing figured out. And what happened was that, Saul, King Saul, you know, prior to King Saul, it was led through God's form of government, you know, and the SOS, and that title stands for, it's either going to be Samuel or Saul. Now, Saul was God's choice, but the choice to have a king was God's people's choice. And they, you know, God's form of government had been working all the way up to that particular point, right? Mm-hmm. And God would speak, and then, you know, the prophet would relay it, and all the governments of God, the way things would happen. And so when they started looking at other nations out there, and they say, you know, that's a socialist government. You know, that's a communist government. That's a Marxist government. That's a this kind of government, you know, and all of a sudden they just start saying that's a republic, or that's a democracy. And, you know, and all of a sudden God's people started looking, thinking, you know, if we become political like that, you know, we can determine our outcome. You know, we can get our people in office, and we can do all this. Like, you know, and we're actually saying, in what Samuel said, Samuel said, God, they're rejecting me. Mm-hmm. And he was really upset about it. And God came to him. He says, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me. When the church turns to government, when we turn to anything outside of God, you know, we're actually rejecting God.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not, government's not bad unless we turn to government as God. I mean, government is a God thing. Right. All authority is established by God, and those who rebel against it rebel against what God's established. But understand this, that Saul was God's choice when the people chose not him, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
And so King Saul, you know, God chose him, and that's where we are today. I mean, you see the church saying basically over and over again that, you know, we've got to have the right government. We don't have the right government. If we don't, it's like, are we talking about God? And people say, well, that's actually what we're meaning. I mean, we understand that. We got God down. We got church down. Right now, we're just trying to save the country.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But I beg to differ with you, because you're looking at the church today, and you're seeing people who love Jesus, who are leaders of large groups of believers, stand up. And we have two prominent citizens in America right now that are very good American citizens and lots of integrity and a lot of wisdom and a lot of knowledge. Mm-hmm. But the church is actually putting their trust in them in the context of God. I mean, you think about it. I mean, we're so far away. We've ventured so far away from a clear understanding of who God is. We don't understand, when you choose Saul and you don't choose Samuel, you're rejecting God.
Right.
You know? And so, I mean, one good example of that is, you know, that when so many people's name could be lesser, because they say, yeah, I'm voting for the lesser of two evils. You know, it's like,
right.
But sometimes you could just vote for God. You know what I'm saying? But you know, think about a presidential candidate who the church is totally, you know, seemingly behind, and he is a, you know, he's obviously a large percentage, not obviously all of the church, but I'm not saying that I have no doubt that he's a good American, he's a good businessman, he's a good family man, but the church should not take any cues about God from who he openly admits that, you know, I'm a Mormon, I'm a practicing Mormon. You know, this is serious business. I mean, this is serious business when everything's weighing in the balance. When we're a nation founded on God and all of our rights come from God, it's important that we know who God is. Because everybody that says God. And so we're turning our hope. You look at the church now, and the church is saying, this is our hope. Mm-hmm. And not only that, and then we have a great news source, one of the greatest news sources right now in America, is a very intelligent man, an authentic man, a very likable person, honest, transparent. He's a breath of fresh air, a loyal American, but he openly confesses that his faith is also in Mormonism. Mm-hmm. So we have a news source that we're relying on with openly professing the faith of Mormonism. And then we have the one who's going to lead our country, because he's got good business skills and he's a great American. He seems to be a real good father and all those wonderful things. And that the church don't have, you know, it's just what, you know, it's kind of like that, you know? And so, you know, it's like, but do we even know what that means? Mm-hmm. And it's important to understand that, because we're wanting to do what God wants. You know, we're not, I mean, even if it means that when it all turns out like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're going to do what God wants. And it's, and just because someone says God, and there's not, I mean, every war that's ever been seems to be a religious war of some sort. I mean, it's viewpoints of God. And but understand this, that we're placing the hope of our country. A lot of the people in America is placing the hope of the country in the hands of those whose faith is loyal to Mormonism.
Right.
You know, we can, you know, when I was a deputy, it didn't matter. You know, fight with me. Get out there in the streets. Well, who I am as a person, who you are, this is what America's about. Mm-hmm. You know, e pluribus unum, right? And
right.
So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about. That's what's so cool about America, that we can, it's about being free. But in regards to saying our hope is in a particular person who openly, you know, is like, come on, at this particular state right now, this is one of those moments you don't want to waver in how you understand things. You need to really understand them. And so when you think about it, and we'll probably cover this more in the future, but you need to have a perspective that, I mean, when you think about it, you know, Mormonism was founded in America, which is a brand new baby nation. You know, it was in upstate New York. Its founder, Joseph Smith, said that the priesthood had gone, had left, and the whole church was apostate, which means, you know, Jesus said that the gates of hell could not prevail against the church and that it wouldn't be. And so the church did not. But he says the whole church actually went in rebellion against God. But an angel came down and met him in upstate New York and laid hands on him to transfer the priesthood to him. And so he is the purity of the priesthood, and he began what we know as Mormonism today. And to top it all off, that the very Book of Mormon, it says on its cover, on the cover of it, it says, another testament. Say that, another.
Another
testament of Jesus Christ. Another, the word another, should any believer who is worth their salt, when you hear that word another, it's like, another?
Right.
Another? You know what I'm saying? Another? And I'm not definitely not saying anything about anybody's, you know, ability to lead and a good father and good business person. And I really enjoy listening to Glenn with a great source of news, but in regards to my faith, right, my hope is in Jesus Christ. And it does matter. It does matter when you're promulgating something that's wrong about Jesus, mm-hmm, because it's going to mislead a lot of people. And so we have leaders now standing up in front of thousands of people, Pat, on the airways, right, and saying that we're brothers in the Lord.
Right.
And the question is, I mean, the church, have we gone, you know what I'm saying? Do we even know? And the problem is, like, oh, I don't want to put the effort in finding out. You know, kind of makes sounds. I remember sitting across the table from a prominent leader and who professed to be a believer. And we're talking, and just very nice person. And he's basically told me this. He said, listen, and he's talking about Islam, and he's talking about Christianity, and he was talking about a couple other religions. He says, you really, it's just, you know, it's all the same God. It's just different ways to him.
Right.
I'm like, you know, he's like, you know, these moments are like shocking moments. It's like, right, you, oh my goodness, and you're a leader? Oh my goodness, you know? And the ultimate, the worst lie of all, than a general type lie is a religious lie. Because a religious lie says that you're right when you're wrong. A religious lie said that Howard Pittman, mm-hmm, was going to go to heaven. That was the worst one. And then when Howard gets there, he finds out, oh, I didn't have a parking spot here. But now that I have one, I'm going to serve God, you know?
All right.
And placebo, we talked about earlier in the first hour. And understanding that we need to understand, we love everybody. You know, but we don't compromise in the area of who Jesus is. I mean, it boils down to this, and this is what Jesus said to his disciples. He went through all their ministry and all the things that were going on, and you know, angels were coming and ascending and descending, and all these wonderful things were taking place. But finally, Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "Who do you say, and who do they say I am?" Mm-hmm. And that was the clincher. That was the clincher. And so he said, "Well, some say this, and some say that, and some say this, right?" Mm-hmm. Which means everybody's not right.
Right.
You know, some people are saying all kinds of things. So it matters what they say about Jesus, who he is, and where he comes from, and all. And then he looked at Peter and says, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Son of God."
Right.
And then Jesus said, "Ah, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. On this rock I will build my church." So the church is built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's important to understand who he is. And when you have a book that a secondary, from my understanding, the Book of Mormon takes priority over the Bible, because obviously, you know, that, you know,
right,
they'd actually accept it. I mean, you just got to study it to be able to find out. And, you know, but I'm just telling you right up front, just you don't have to dive deep at all. You can just look at the cover and something,
yeah,
that says, you know, another testament. But all this, right, is what Jesus, this is what the revelation of Jesus in the Book of Revelation in chapter 22, verse 10. Through 19, I believe it is. And he says, "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. And if anyone takes away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in these scrolls. In other words, you're not supposed to write another Bible.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's, you know, when you have, you know, when you, we think about some religions, it's like, okay, that's easy. That's not God.
Right.
But when they use all the same vocabulary,
all the same,
you got to ask this question. You got to say, who is Jesus to you? Mm-hmm. Who is Jesus to you? You know, and you can go back and listen to, you know, community organizer in the highlights. And I talk about when I was a community organizer and it boiled down, I finally got to ask that question to a Berkeley professor at a restaurant. And I'd ask him, who is Jesus to you? And he told me that he was a carpenter and a teacher.
All right.
No, he was a Jewish carpenter. That's what he says, Jewish carpenter.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, got it. He don't know Jesus. And so this Jesus that the Mormon church is professing, if they're openly professing my faith is in the doctrine of, you know, Mormonism, then it's a different Jesus. It's a different Jesus. I'm not saying that somebody, you know, could be in any group of people who has a name over it. And in that, just like Steve behind a soda fountain cried out to God and met God, that you can find God.
All right.
But once you meet him, you realize, oh, that ain't God. And you kind of pull away from it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to encourage you that though we have some seemingly great Americans to the best of our knowledge that are wanting to take significant roles in providing news and leadership in our country, which we're grateful for, we have to understand we can't take the leadership and their viewpoints of Jesus. You know, we have to understand that, you know, where people stand up as pastors and shepherds of thousands of people and profess that this Mormon Jesus mm-hmm. is the same Christian Jesus, you know, that's not true. It's just not true, you know. And there is only one way to God. And it's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Son of God, and that was with God before the foundations of the earth. And his kingdom is not of this earth. And when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about in the hearts of men. And he came from heaven, was born of a virgin, and he went back to heaven. So it's a lot to that. We'll talk more about that probably in the future. But just understand that. It's important that you don't just look at the front cover of the Mormon doctrine, when it says another testament, we should understand. So be very careful. Don't just say because somebody says Jesus, it means mm-hmm. Jesus. And if you don't know him, you got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You got to find out. And just like Steve, when he cried out to be able to meet the Lord, God met him right there where he was. And so you can meet Jesus. He's actually, you know, right there. He says, though he's not far from you, you can reach out to him. And he's waiting for you to do that. So it's not some mystery or something of that nature, but you got to reach out for Jesus, you know, for God. And he brings clarity. And that's why you need to abide with him. If you don't abide with him, it's like we talk all the time at iabide.org, you got to know him. When you know him, he will guide you. Because there's many voices. There's many voices, and a lot of things are credited to God. But God's spirit talks about Jesus' direction. And so I just want to encourage you, you can find out more if you want to meet him at meetmyfather.org. If you want to get an abiding lifestyle, which would be really cool, that way you're not going to be deceived or led astray. And many people will be deceived in these last days.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to be able to know Jesus and get used to hearing his voice. You'll know what's him and what's not. We'll be right back in just a moment. You know, when we first started trying to articulate, you know, what God was doing with us, you know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God. And then in families, really family, you know, Jesus said when his mother Mary was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house and to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They were going to rescue God, John. They were going to rescue God. And that he hadn't eaten in a couple of days. And And they just knew because that was their family. They thought, that's my family. That's my relative in there. So he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus, he says, you know, your mother and your brother's outside wanting to talk to you. And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door.
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this. He said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God. Because the truth is that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, you know, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars. You know, that we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and to that we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation. And it's an exciting thing. The Vine seminar is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine seminars, from marriage to personality, from, you know, what it's like just to be the church, you know, maybe you can glean from it. Go to vineseminars.org.
This is like a very deep, deep experience that it is just alive to me. And I could never forget that God is in my heart.
Last night, it was just, I don't know, it was just last night I actually felt this wonderful feeling. It's very warm, just like someone was hugging me. It felt great. And last night was very informative, very information, a lot of good information that everybody should listen to, everybody should know. And just after last night, I mean, I'd recommend everybody in the world to just at least test this out, see how it is.
Vine is proving that you don't have to leave where you are. God will meet you right where you are, in your living room, in your family room, in your backyard, in your pool, wherever. And I think that's a great concept that Vine's actually putting out there.
Yeah, well, you definitely feel the love with the Vine seminars. A lot of enlightenment. You see everyone comes together, as they say, like a family. Feels like a family. Definitely family-oriented in every which way.
Wow, that's just so, as testimonies, just hearing people that have experienced God and some of the VFN and Vine seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. I just love to hear them, you know, and it reminds me, you know, some of them I got a chance to be at those seminars, and just, it's just so cool to see people loved on by God. This is what God's doing. This is what we see God doing. You know, this is what we've seen, this is what we heard, and we testify of that we're leading people to God and they're encountering him. Mm-hmm. Undeniably. Like I just heard, you know, Tyler talking about, you know, his encounter with God in New Jersey. You know,
right.
He's from New York, but he came down to come to that Vine seminar, and, you know, just, you know, he's a young teenage man, and a really awesome dude, very intelligent man, young man. And you know, he just showed up. And then God showed up, and God said to him, he heard God's voice, and God said, what's up? And he just called him by guard, and next thing you know, God just hugged him. It was just him and God, and he just felt the presence of God.
Wow.
You know, and God just affirmed, and you know, just it's just so cool to see, you know, God do that. Listen, God, I know religion has told you and has nullified the reality of many people's mindsets about God. But let me encourage you. He is real. He exists. He rewards those who diligently seek him. He draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Listen, it's, you know, nobody can take that from you. Only you could do that. You can take it from yourself by choosing not to follow God. I encourage you, don't follow religion. Follow Jesus and follow those who actually follow the Lord. Well, getting back to God's news behind the news, you know, we were talking about, you know, dominoes and the economies, and we talked about the words that have been given this week when John came on and told us about the prophetic dream about the economy falling in 6 seconds and the New York Stock Exchange reporter and all that, and you can find that on highlights. And I talked about the money going up in flames, being burned And it was paper. It was actually paper. It was actually paper money, and which I believe, you know, when the hurricanes came to the Gulf Coast, they issued out, you know, debit cards.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And so instead of giving money out or checks out or cash out, everybody got a card.
Right.
And they're able to take it like a Visa card and go and buy what they needed. And it was amazing what some of them bought. We were going to go there. It's like, really? You're going to buy a PlayStation game? The entire city of New Orleans is wiped off the face of the map. And you're in a what do they call that in the Baton Rouge? That they called it where all the people gathered in that stadium or in that auditorium. Anyway, there are cots everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
Yeah,
obviously, look at that. Two blanks. One blank said the other blank. They were in this place of refuge that was provided for them at in Baton Rouge, and cots everywhere. And so you're basically sleeping in a huge basketball court, but a huge one, you know, or like the, And so a civic center maybe. And you're on a cot. You're on a cot, a bed. That's a little fold-out bed. There's like thousands of other people on a cot right beside you. And you're given a card that has money on it. It's exchanged, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they took it and they bought PlayStation games. Pat, they bought PlayStation.
Unbelievable.
I know. I mean, we don't have a lot of time to talk about that. So you can't, they issued money out. They issued money out immediately to people that needed it. Obviously, you got a revelation here. What's the revelation?
It's called a shelter.
It's called a shelter. Thank you out there to our listeners. I want to be able to grasp, understand what I'm saying is that though there was no paper money, they used credit cards, used plastic cards to distribute economy so they can go out and buy food, shelter, whatever it took. But actually, you know, we saw a lot of people just buy junk and they just assumed it would be filled up again. The car would be filled up again. So you can switch. You can take the economy that we're used on paper money right now. And it could overnight, if it becomes worthless, you know, people, they could just say, hey, just come and pick up your piece of plastic. And now it's a digital economy. You know,
right.
Amber, my daughter, and your wife works at a bank, and in that, it's all digital transfers. It's all,
right.
You know, they just let us play with the stuff called paper every now and then. But the reality is, they're just moving numbers back and forth all the
right.
time.
Yeah.
And so it'd be real easy to do to just have a paperless money.
Basically, is already.
Yeah, I know, but they're just not. You know,
yeah.
People are not buying into it. But
right.
when disaster hits in this domino situation, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just lines up with what the 1998 prophecy from David Wilkerson? You know what God has been sharing with us, and you can find out more at BG Blog. But right now, this morning, you have Greece that's already tumbling down, and they said it's falling like dominoes. Now France is weighing in the balance. You know, there was a projection over the euro and the European nations, and the euro is the money there, that it had a 90-day countdown starting June the 1st. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to quickly launch, you know, and this has been in our heart to do, but VFN Radio and VFN TV need to launch quickly because we need a voice of reason and encouragement and enlightenment and activation. What do you do with all this?
Right.
And that's why that's one of the main reasons why we're here. And just like God, it's happening right now. Here we are, you know, and it's this week where they're saying France is the next one to fall. They say it's falling like dominoes. They're falling like dominoes. And dominoes is like this. When you hear the word dominoes, it's not like a domino fall. If a domino falls in the wilderness, does it make a noise? You know, if a tree falls in the wilderness,
right.
nobody's around to hear it, does
right,
it make a
right.
noise? And a lot of times when somebody hears domino, they're not understanding that it's not like a domino by itself. It's a chain of events that this domino falls, and then it falls on the next domino, and then that second domino falls. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've ever seen one of those things where these people sort of haul night long or something and line all these dominoes up. And they
Yeah. I've seen those.
And it's like, oh my God, you know, where have I missed it? You know what I'm saying?
Where do you find all this time?
Oh my goodness. That's amazing. No, I'm not saying anything's bad about it. I'm just like.
Dude, they'll spend days and days building those things.
Oh my goodness.
I've seen that.
Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? They must be sanguine personalities, you think?
Don't think so.
There's my three dominoes. And so, but they're saying like dominoes, they say France is next. And they said this week, Pat, this week they will determine what, if anything, you know, what's going to happen, how they're going to respond. And then Germany would have to bail them out. And Germany, first of all, last time Germany started bailing people out wasn't good. And they're not going to be able to do that. So that'll be the end of the euro. Well, Europe is a big purchaser of American goods. That they, in other words, we got money coming to us. And this is why World War One happened, was because of the economy. They said if we didn't get involved in the war, we wouldn't have anybody to buy our products. We got to get this thing all worked out. And that's why, you know, Woodrow Wilson, you know, felt like we needed to go because there was nobody going to buy our stuff.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that wild?
That is something.
How many people died so we could actually sell some stuff? Your money. The love of money is the root to all evil, you know. And so now, you know, if all of a sudden, if Europe's not buying our American goods, and we're not like, you know, at the peak of our existence right now in America with our economy, you know, we're struggling, you know, millions unemployed. I do encourage you to go back and listen to some of the things, you know, on VFN radio and be encouraged that those that are with God, God will provide for you. God's perspective on what's happening. God has an economy outside of this economy. And he's getting everybody's attention. But here we are right now. You know, we're 5 minutes. I'm at six seconds was the word that it falls. And what they're saying is this is how it's going to happen. It won't take a month to fall. It'll just be a sudden thing. It's all of a sudden, okay, we're just going to give it up, you know, and it's not going to be able to do it. There comes a day when, you know, somebody has a business and the business is not doing well. They'll do some things to be able to sustain the business, but there comes one day that says, just kill it. It's like, this thing is killing us. It's costing us way too much money. And they just stop the business. And they go in there and say, listen, you know, I've been paying you out of my own resources, you know, and they do all these kinds of stuff. And you close the business down. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are right now. Mm-hmm. The collapse of the euro could be like in 7 days. And the dominoes, and I know that we seem isolated. We think we're totally away from everybody, but the truth is we're all connected. That was the purpose of trying to prevent a war by intertwining our economies. Mm-hmm. And mistake. And so, but the church does not have to intertwine their economies, you know?
All right.
And so right now, as we speak, you know, you need to be prepared. You need to have prudent preparation. You go to BG Blog, bgblog.org, and we have some things there to be able to help you out, you know, what... wisdom says that a prudent man sees danger and prepares for it, but the fool doesn't and is destroyed for it. And so, you know, it's God takes care. You know, the big thing about this, we always talk about this. If you're, you know, if you have a big bus that's coming your way and you jump out in front of it in the road, I mean, is God going to stop the bus or is the bus going to run over you?
You're about to be roadkill.
Well, think about it. I mean, how many people live their life like, you know, God's going to stop this bus. And God's going to say, no, the prudent man would have stepped out of the way. You didn't see the bus coming. And let me tell you, if you're in New York, I mean, you got to pay attention. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And people are living a gospel or a message, a teaching, thinking like, you know, there is no bus is going to hit me. And God's, you know, tells us in his word that, well, if you don't move out of the way of a bus, if you don't prepare, then you're going to get ran over. Right?
Yep, absolutely.
So you can go to bgblog and .org, bgblog.org, and find out, you know, how a prudent person can prepare. I mean, we begin to talk about, you know, there's a whole talk there about prudent preparation. What does it look like? And we begin to just explore the idea. But also there's other prophetic teachings there to help you understand kind of where we are, such as, you know, is America under judgment? You know, and we need to just look at the evidence, you know, and then you get to hear the evidence, you get to see what God's word says, and you can draw your own conclusions based off of that. And there's prophetic words there, the Elijah storms there, and it's just very, get informed. I mean, get informed. If there's a bus coming your way, you may only have to take a few steps to the left, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Think about it. A few steps to the left, right?
Just get out of the way.
Just get out of the way, and it happens. Whatever's going to happen, happens. You know, and we just, you know, way back when, you know, the Lord laid on my heart about this, and I started talking about it, and, you know, it's nothing more lonelier than to be a prophet and have to, and I'm not calling myself a prophet, but giving a prophetic word, that when everything's doing well, you got to prophesy time's not doing good, but it's easier now.
Yeah.
That, you know, things seem to be totally lining up with a prophetic word. I'd love to have Johnny Foote, you know, on show, a program to be able to share, because he talks about the beast economy and how God has shared with him about, you know, the airline industry, what's going to happen there, and about, you know, China coming into the Asian people coming in, China coming into America, attacking it from the middle. You know, and all these different things that got in this. And what happened is, you know, well, 40% of our debts borrowed from China, 40 cents every dollar. And so we got to hear this word, and hopefully we'll have it available to you at some point on VFNTV.com. But just prepare, you know, prudent preparation. It's not, you know, we're not worried. As believers, you know, we're not concerned about trying to live longer. I mean, we really shouldn't be that, because we understand that when we should be concerned about being healthy, you know, doing what we can for the Lord, being there for our families. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, trying to stay so long here when it's so awesome there. But if we're here, what we're doing is helping people. We're teaching them how to know God's voice and to follow him and those wonderful things like that, and relating to God's family and loving on Jesus is loving on his people and sharing with other people who don't know him yet. But we're not scared of death. You know, we don't, you know, there's a song that years ago they used to sing. This is ain't no grave going to hold me down. It was a pretty cool song. And that as believers, to be absent from the body is to be present with God. We're not concerned about that. You know, somebody has a fear of God versus a fear of man. They're more concerned about, you know, what is God wanting me to do? Am I going to do what God wants me to do? And ever how it ends up, you know, because when God sent them out, he said, Jesus said, I send you out like sheep amongst wolves, you know, and he says, when they arrest you, it's like, can y'all back that tape up for a moment? Can you back that highlight? What do you say? When they arrest you? I mean, I am not ever saying that that's what we want to happen, but this is Jesus, what he said.
That's right.
And it was orchestrated by guys. This is a way for you can actually get before the leaders, and you can talk to them and witness to them. And what a perspective, right? You're standing there in a courtroom. You have handcuffs behind your back. And Paul is literally trying to fish for King Agrippa. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
Right.
You know, most of us are like, do you know where an attorney is to get me out of this? But he was actually thinking about how he could win the king, how he could win the judge.
Amazing.
Is that totally amazing?
Amazing.
Lord, we need help. Lord, I just ask you right now to touch us. We need serious help.
Yeah.
Because we're thinking like, oh my goodness, you're going to put me in jail. And when you talk about, you know, he wrote the Bible, Pat. When he wrote up to the unction of the Holy Spirit, when he was writing, you know, the parts of the New Testament, the epistles and all, the poem, they're called prison epistles because he was writing them when he's in prison. And it's not like today's prison.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Roman prisons where it has the sewer that runs to the open sewer that ran through the jail.
Right.
I know. You think I was like, oh, you know, that's my biggest concern was, I was like, today's church, the American church, we might not be able to go through anything.
Yeah, right.
You know, and we got to learn how to go through something, you know. And I pray that we don't have to, you know, take this cup from us.
Yeah.
But, you know, one way that we know we can do it is by abiding with the Lord, you know, just spending time with God and understanding that There's an assurity in that no matter what happens, you know that God is going to direct you and lead you during those particular times. And so I just want to encourage you right now, even though I'm sharing these prophetic things that are taking place, that don't be fearful. This is what Jesus said. He says, when these things start to happen, he says, look up because your redemption is near you, which means he's going to come back. It's going to be like the days of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And the days of Noah was like everything was going status quo. It was happening like it always happened. And so understand that don't look for people, what they're doing, who don't know God, for a sign. You know, everything's okay, I guess. Everybody's marrying and they're doing business and stuff like that. Understand suddenly it's going to happen. And so you just want to be prepared. And you can do that by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. You know, you go to meetmyfather.org and begin to abide with him. And you can do that at iabide.org. We'll be right back in a moment. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at vfntv.com or through the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone. That's vfntv.com.